The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. Matters reach a climax in the Latouche household when Emile, who is planning to elope with Captain Chateau Renaud, asks her cousin Annette to help them. Annette is an unwilling helper, but she succumbs to Emile's pleading and is attempting to keep everybody away from Emile's boudoir on the night she plans to escape. However, while Emile is feverishly packing a valise with Annette by her side, there is a knock on the door of the anteroom which leads to the boudoir. When Annette answers, she finds that Louis de Franchi is there, Louis, to whom Emilia is engaged. Realizing that here is a chance to revenge herself on Captain Chateau Renaud, who had joked about her stoutness, she allows Louis to walk into the boudoir where Emilia, her back turned to him, is kneeling over her valise, cramming as many garments into it as she is able. She has heard the door to the boudoir open, and she calls over her shoulder.
Who was it, Annette? Oh, dear, these shoes will never fit in this valise. Who was it, Annette? The housekeeper? I said, who was... Oh.
Emile.
You?
Yes, Emile.
How did you get in here?
I was told you were here. What are you doing?
Who told you to come in here?
Annette. What's the matter, Emile? The tone of your voice, it's almost as though I were an intruder.
You had no right to come in here when I'm not ready to receive you.
I'm sorry, Emile. I told Annette that I had to see you urgently.
I can't see you now. I'm busy.
You're busy? Packing a valise?
Yes, I'm going away to the country.
Then I'm glad I came as soon as I heard the news.
What news?
Something very unpleasant happened when I was in Corsica. That's what brought me back here, post haste. Oh, Emile, before we talk, let me take you in my arms. I just want to know that you're near me, that everything's real, and that
don't,
it's the
don't,
same.
Don't. I'm in a hurry, Louis. Don't you understand? I'm in a hurry. I can't talk now. You'll have to write me.
Write you? But I've come all the way from Corsica just to defend you, to find out who was responsible for this horrible implication.
Implication? What implication?
Merely, somebody wrote me an anonymous letter saying the wildest, the most fantastic things about you. I shall never rest until I find out who was responsible.
What was said in the letter?
This letter linked your name with a captain.
A captain?
Yes, Captain Chateau Renaud. Have you heard the name?
Have I... heard the name? Why, yes.
You know the gentleman?
Yes, I know him.
Well, somebody's trying to make mischief. Somebody is saying that you betray more than a passing interest in him, and that I should be back here in case it's too late. A most horrible implication.
So you've come back?
Yes, but not for that reason, of course, Emile. I trust you beyond all else. I've come back because I want to find out who was responsible and to thrash him within an inch of his life.
I see. Well, you've told me your news. Would you let me get on with my packing now?
Emile!
Now, I'm sorry, perhaps it's abrupt, but I'm in such a hurry. And people will be drawing up on the opposite side of the road shortly. People who are taking me to the country. Goodbye, Louis.
Emile, what's the matter with you?
Nothing. Oh, for goodness sake, Louis, why do you stare at me so reproachfully? Will you please leave me?
Before you go, Louis,
I think you may as well know that the people who are drawing up in the coach opposite happened to be really one person. Captain Chateau Renaud. Annette! What is more, Amelia is not going to the country with him. She's going to the coast and thence to England. They are going to be married.
Annette! You pig! You vixen! You...
I don't care. I hate Captain Renaud, and you know it. This is my way of letting him know that he can't hurt people less fortunate than himself and get off scot-free. He may think I'm fat, and he may think I'm ugly, but now at least he'll know that I'm not to be dealt lightly with.
Emile, is this true?
Yes.
Really true?
Every word of it.
I can hardly believe it. Oh, no, this is a dream, a nightmare. In a few moments, I'll wake up. I'm in my bed. I'll say to myself, I went to bed last night, and during the night, I had a horrible, a fearful dream.
It's no dream. I'm sorry, Louis, it's the truth.
But you love me. I know you do.
How do you know?
You've told me so 100 times.
Then let this be one of your lessons in life, Louis. Never believe a woman, even if she repeats herself 101 times. I don't love you, and I never did.
But you do. Oh, Emile, otherwise how could you say what you said to me?
I would have broken my engagement off several weeks ago if it hadn't been for Papa. for some reason or other, just dotes on you. As it is, well, I'm going to marry a man.
Don't talk like that.
A man with fire, romance. He's exciting, unpredictable, unexpected. All the things I've ever wanted. But you, what are you? Just a lovesick swain who goes around with calf eyes and a mournful expression. 2 days before I see you again. 24 hours before I hear your lovely voice. Oh, you make me sick with your sugar candy phrases and your milky protestations.
Don't say any more. Please don't say any more.
There's nothing more to say. Now you know. Why, it's 9 o'clock. He'll be on the opposite side of the road. I must go. I must go at once. Not a minute must I keep him waiting. Not a minute.
Emily, don't you talk to me, you sneak. I'll never forgive you for this, never. And as for you, Louis, you would never have made me happy, even if you had had your uncle's money. Goodbye.
Grasping her valise, Emilia ran through the French windows, along the terrace, and down the steps which led into the garden. Soon she would be with the man of her choice, and even the fact that she might run into one of the servants held no fear for her now. Meanwhile, Louis stood in the center of the rose-colored boudoir, motionless, image-like, with Annette framed in the doorway. Both were staring at the French windows that a moment or two ago had framed the lovely but devastating Emilia Latouche. At last, the silence was broken.
Monsieur, monsieur.
Yes?
Monsieur, I hardly know what to say. It was I that sent you that letter.
Yes.
I felt that an injustice was about to be done. You were away in Corsica. This man was making violent love to Amelie. She was responding. It was horrible to me, and perhaps my motives were those of a resentful person. I wanted to hurt him because I knew that he loved Amelie. I wanted to stop him marrying her. In fact, even now, monsieur, it may not be too late. I can go downstairs and tell Monsieur Latouche.
It would make no difference to me, Annette.
But why not?
She doesn't love me. That's all that matters in my life. The one whom I held above all other women doesn't love me. She doesn't care whether I live or die.
Don't grieve, monsieur. She's not worthy of you. Honestly, she isn't. Even when the engagement was announced, it was your money she thought of, and the chateau which was to be yours. Then when she heard you were disinherited... Monsieur, where are you going? Monsieur!
Walking like a somnambulist down the wide stairway of the Latouche home, Louis entered the coach and sank down beside his friend, Gaudet. Gaudet could get no sense from him and was extremely puzzled. It was not until they reached home and he had been fortified with several brandies that Louis at last told his half-broken story. Pierre listened in silence.
And that's the last I saw of her, Pierre. Like a beautiful picture in a frame, valise in hand, standing by the French windows. And those last words.
And as for you, Louis, you would never have made me happy, even if you had had your uncle's money. Goodbye.
I'm sorry, Louis. And yet I've been frightened right from the beginning.
Why?
Remember I told you it might be a mistake to love too much.
Yes, I didn't heed you. Love made me confident, fearless, almost boastful. Now I see myself as I am. A miserable wreck of humanity. No feeling, no soul, no future.
Now don't talk like that.
It's true. My whole world's been swept aside. Nothing remains but a void, a chasm of nothingness. I feel like a man who's walked over the end of the world.
It'll pass, Louis. Time is a wonderful healer.
Perhaps. Oh, Pierre, you've been awfully kind. Could I lie here in my room alone for a while? I want to get things straight in my mind. Try to realize that this thing has happened. That the sun won't shine anymore. That I'll never hear music again. That Amelia is gone from my life forever.
You'll get over it. You have the strength and the courage to fight.
I just want to be alone with my thoughts.
Of course, as you wish. But remember this, Louis. Your family, all have had courage. They've been fighters, all of them. That broken half of the sword that you always kept by you, remember? It was the only relic of the De Franchi family that ever came over with you from Corsica. You never knew what it was, but it's symbolic of your family. Fighters, all of them. It's part of a sword that was used to defend you when your father fought for you and your brother and your mother. Remember all those things.
Yes, dear. I'll remember. Good night.
You must try and get some sleep. It's late. Striking 12.
Good night, Louis.
And as for you, Louis, you would never have made me happy.
A broken half of the sword. Topeka brought it over with me when she escaped from Corsica. I took it when I left my uncle's house. In one of these boxes. Which box? Which box?
Even if you had your uncle's money, goodbye.
The broken sword. The pointed blade. It did service for my father. It will do service for me as I drive it into my heart.
Louis stood in the middle of the room, the broken blade of the sword clasped in his hands. So great was this young man's grief that he did not wish to live on. Will a woman's heartless treatment of him mean the death of one of the Corsican brothers?